Tonight, now it's this is kind of a comparison message of a sin trap for sin trap for the Christians and the lost. Okay, we're not going to leave nobody out. We're going to get everybody. All right, the monkey trap. If you would turn in your Bible to Acts chapter number 9. We'll all stand if you would for the reading of God's word. You've been sitting for about 50 minutes, so we'll stand. Actually, we're going to read in Acts chapter 9, and then we're going to flip right over to James chapter 4 if you want to be there as well. But in Acts chapter 9, it said, "And he said, Who art?" In Acts chapter 9, verse number 5, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And then in James chapter number 4, verse 17, it says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Amen. Brother Keith, would you take us to the Lord in prayer?
Dear Father, Lord, we sit down in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time you've given us, Lord. And I pray, God, that you just bless Brother Johnny. God, use him for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs tonight, Lord, and how you've already touched our heart. God, I pray, Lord, also that we be receptive to the Word of God tonight, Lord. You know what we need, what we have need of, Lord, before we ever got here, Lord. And I pray, God, that you just bless your Word, God. I pray that we'd apply it to our heart. And, Lord, it be something, Lord, to help us, Lord, throughout this week, Lord, to be a witness, God, where you'd have us to be and what you'd have us to do. And all that's done, we'll thank you and praise you. Lord, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, now I got to tell you what a monkey trap is, all right? This is important. You got to know what it is to get the point. Now, a monkey trap is exactly what it sounds like. It's something designed to catch monkeys. And why do you want to catch a monkey? Well, there's places that have monkeys in different parts of the world, and they catch them for lots of different reasons. To provide for their families a source of income and sometimes a source of nutrition. So they catch them and they sell them to zoos and other things. And sometimes there's some countries that they have to catch them and they use them as food. But a monkey trap is not a complicated thing. It basically is a gourd with an narrow neck, just big enough for a monkey's hand to get down in there. You know I can't stand still, so I'll be all right. For the monkey's hand to get down in there. And all the monkey trap is a gourd and a piece of rope. Nothing technical about it. They take this gourd and a piece of rope and they go out to where the monkeys are at. And it don't take a lot of camouflage for the monkey trap. They just go over near where the monkeys are at. And they take that gourd and they tie it to a tree. And whatever they've got for bait, fruits, nuts, or whatever they're going to use, they put a good bit of it inside the gourd. And then they just throw some out towards where the monkeys are and get it going towards them. You know, they don't lay out a trail right to it, but they get a trail kind of leading in that direction. And then there'll be a monkey. Normally it's a young monkey that'll be out there, and he'll find some of that bait there on the ground. Now, when I brought this up, now I got to clarify it for monkeys and people do act a lot alike, but we're not from them, okay? They do, if you'll watch them, they do act a lot alike, because monkey, when it finds food, it ain't going to share with nobody. Okay? When it finds something, it's not going to share. So that's the whole idea behind the monkey trap. That's why it works. You got this young monkey that's run over here and he's found a little piece of food, and instead of maybe telling brothers and sisters or aunt and uncle or grandma or grandpa or anything like that, he just eats it. And as he's found it right there, he noticed over there it's a little bit more. So each little step he takes, he's getting further and further and further away from his family, from those that love him, and from the protection of that area. So he gets a little bit of further away, and he gets over here. He done knows what he's after. He gets over here to where that gourd's at, and he sees that gourd. And he knows that what he wants is in that gourd. So he runs over and sticks his hand down in there and grabs a handful of that what's in there. And he can't get away. He won't let go. He can't get away. He's there until the man comes back to get him. And most of the time they have to break the gourd to get the monkey. Because even though that monkey is in fear of his life, it won't let go of it. Now that's how sin is. lost or saved, sometimes when you get a hold of sin, we can't let go. Exactly right. The monkey can still see Mama and Papa up there in the trees. But he ain't going to let them see where his hand's at, you know. He just waves, you know, I'm all right down here, you know. And that's how we do. We say, hey, everything's going all right, you know. And you just keep hiding it. And you just keep hiding it. You just keep hiding it. Well, that's what the monkey trap happens. And this trap always works. It never fails to catch a monkey. The man that set this trap when I was learning about this program and stuff, he always caught a monkey, you know. These other pitfalls and traps like you might be accustomed to seeing that they have to put out there and they camouflage them real good, the monkey sniff him out in a heartbeat and he won't go near him. He won't go stick his leg in a snare that the trees bent way over to jerk him up in the air. He done figured that out. He won't run over there and mess around where them leaves is at over a little thin rug and fall in a hole. But he'll go over and stick his hand after something he wants. But he don't holler. He don't let out no yells and stuff. He don't want nobody to know he's over. Because he's afraid they come take it away from him. And that's sin. That's how sin is. That's the comparison with that trap and the sin trap. It attracts us by pleasure of the flesh. Well, you can sum that up to all sin, can't you? You know, that's why we've got to crucify the flesh daily. You know, because this flesh is seeking its desires. It catches us, you know, it'll catch us where we can still have glimpses and others may see us, but we will even hide it instead of seeking help. I mean, that applies to the whole way it's laid out. As a lost person, you know, there's lots of lost people out there that are very religious. We read from Acts in chapter number 9, verse 5. And that was Paul. In verse 1 there it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Saul was a religious leader. He consented unto Stephen's death. If you'll just turn back into chapter number eight, and the end of chapter number 7, Acts chapter number 7, 57, when it was talking about the stoning of Stephen, it says, "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped up their ears and ran upon him with one accord." That's when they were rushing up to Stephen. "They cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." First words in chapter number 8, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." And this sounds like a bad time here, but what I was getting to there was Saul was a very religious man, a religious leader, looked up to, you know, but he was lost. And here we have a bad time. This is where I saw that this tied into this morning's theme. Here we've got a bad time in Jerusalem. It says they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And verse 2 says, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him." And verse 3 says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison." You know, Saul done what he wanted to. He got the letter, said he could do it. So he's going out. He said, "I'm going to get rid of all them Christians." In verse 4 now, listen, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So, hey, we can't do it at home. We'll go somewhere else and do it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's missions. Amen. That's how, you know, that's missions. That's getting the word, the good news of Jesus Christ out there. They said, we're being persecuted at home. They don't want us there. Let's just go somewhere else and do it. But that, in chapter number 8 there, we read about Saul's persecution of the church. But in chapter number 9, we learn of his conversion on the road to Damascus. But the question, what I want to bring out there is in 5 when it says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, you know, sometimes we talk about that being, we've often heard that compared to that old mule that'll get out there and don't want to do nothing, and he'll kick against the pricks, maybe of the plow and stuff like that. Well, he knows that's going to hurt, but he does it anyway. He knows he shouldn't do it, but he does it anyway. He's going to have consequences for it. And that's exactly like the monkey trap and the sin trap. We can know that there's consequences to pay, yet we choose to do it anyway. And we read in James 4:17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. It's sin. Now, that, you know, I told you this was a comparison, but a comparison of the sin trap for Christians and the lost. It's the same trap, but the way it gets Christians, the way it gets lost, is the lost, it may come down two different avenues, but they meet at one intersection, and that's sin. You know, it's no less a sin for a Christian to do it than it is for a lost person to do it. Sin is sin. And I got too many papers up here now. But in we read there out of James, and we're reading out of Acts. And the first part of Acts is talking about Saul, whom I think we can agree would be a lost man to start with, Saul. And then he was converted. He got saved. And then we read there out of James. Now, the epistle of James, if you read it, read the front part, the first thing under the big letters that says James, you ought to read it every once in a while and get some history out of some of those things. Here it states that there were two James among the 12 apostles, but this book is thought to be written by the James who was Jesus' brother. Now, when you read that, if you read and stop there, you might think, well, this kid was Jesus' brother. I mean, you know, he had to get right from the time he was old enough to understand what was going on and anything else. I mean, he had to just come up a good Christian boy, you know, saved and ready to go to heaven his whole life. He would have been younger than Jesus, but was that the case? No. If you read on a little bit further, it says he who becomes a believer after Christ's ascension. I mean, he was around Jesus his whole life. He was there from the time whenever this James was born until Christ was crucified. He was there. This was his brother. And he still didn't get saved or didn't become a Christian until after the ascension. Okay, but there's no mention of him before there. We had to use Saul to get in the lost person to start with. But then we got James, and he's writing, and he writes a lot of stuff directed towards the church and how people are to act. And bringing out good characters to be. And the commentary, one of the commentaries I use a lot is this Matthew Henry. And talking about chapter 1 of James, it lists two things that does for you. Christians are taught how to conduct themselves when under the cross, and then the Word of God should be our chief study. And that's good examples to be. But the Word of God is good for everybody. Okay? But, and the flesh, everybody's flesh. If you're alive, you're flesh. We as Christians, like I said, we need to crucify that flesh daily. But why do we need to do that? Because that is how we're tempted. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm not tempted anymore in my spiritual body to do things. The temptation is coming to the flesh. James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." That's that monkey trap again. That's that monkey trap again. Yeah. The monkey would have been all right if he wasn't selfish and after food. Yeah. He got in there and he seen that he could get something that nobody else was going to be able to get. And he was enticed by that little piece of bait. He was enticed into something bigger and better. That's how his flesh was telling him. There's more there at the end. Just a little bit further and there's more. Just a little bit further and there's more. A little bit further and it's better. Same thing happens to a Christian. You don't need to go on Wednesday night. I mean, you know that. Nobody's going to be there. And you ain't going to miss nothing. And there's a basketball game on tonight. I'll watch the basketball game. Well, what do you change it to when basketball season's over? Okay, football. Preacher, you better mark this down, boy. That's too many answers there right quick, wasn't it? That was quick. But the thing is, and we laugh and make light of that, I know that. But, I mean, I'm drawn back to James chapter 4, verse 17. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Well, if you want to know whether it's good or bad, I think you can use the Bible. The Bible said, "Forsake not assembling together as the manner of some is." In other words, be at church when you're supposed to be at church. We'll put it in Johnny language. Amen. You know you're supposed to be at church when you're supposed to be at church. And you choose not to. You know to do good. You didn't. It's sin. Monkey trap. It's not Johnny saying it. I'm not saying that. I've missed times too. I've missed not being here. Not because of a basketball game. But I have missed times being here. There's times I've missed that I could have been here and didn't get here. I think we can all raise our hands for that. What we need to do is acknowledge, yes, it's sin, and then get and repent of it. And get out and go on and don't do it again. But if we do, if we get caught in that monkey trap, go back to God. Amen. But, you know, there's, like I was saying, as a comparison, there's no difference in sin whether you're saved or lost. Sin is sin. We got to remember that. Now, the way we get there might be down two different roads. You might be saved and living right. And then nobody knows, like Wayne was talking about. You can sit there in church and fool everybody. And nobody knows. We don't know that your hand is caught in that monkey trap. We may not know it. Amen. And you can't let go. And you maybe ain't going to tell somebody. But you know you're caught in that trap. Yep. And you know you're far away from who can help you. Amen. And that's God. Now, notice how I said that. You're far away. Right. Yep. Because God didn't put you there. And God didn't leave you when you got there. It's our hard head and this flesh that keeps us away from God. Now, God can show you how to get out of that monkey trap. And if anybody ever shows the monkeys that all he's got to do is let go, and he's home free. Now, the man, when they showed the thing on this man that was catching all these monkeys, only one time did he ever go to a trap that there wasn't a monkey there. Nope. The devil got there before he did. The lion come and ate the monkey, but he didn't eat the gourd. Okay? So if the man don't get there before the old devil does, that old lion, now we got another problem. If you know, we've always heard that saying around here, that sin will take you further than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? You know, I don't think anybody ever intends to do it. Let's talk about some things that I know. And I don't think everybody intends when they get out there and they think that drinking is going to be something great and they're going to do it and they're going to hang out with all these friends and they're going to meet all these nice people and have all these fancy cars and everything else. Nobody goes into that intending to kill anybody while they're driving drunk or end up in prison. But I've never seen anybody come out like a TV commercial. It ain't going to happen. You know, nobody intends for any sin to go as far as it does. Any sin. But it's sin. If you started, it's sin. If the flesh, when it talks about that, when James was talking about that, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When he's drawn away with his own lust. There's no almost sin. Okay? The Bible says the wages of sin, S-I-N. If you can say, I've only done one thing wrong, that's enough. It's sin. Only, I've been perfect, I've only done one thing wrong. If you don't get saved and repent of that one sin, you're going to hell. The Bible don't say, you know, after you're 30 years old, if you do anything wrong, then you're in trouble. It don't say that. Wages of sin, S-I-N. I'm not perfect. But by no means. Okay, I fail God many times. Probably many times in a day. Each day. But just like some other folks have talked about, and John and the preacher and other folks, you know what? We've got to consciously remember what we need to do is resist. Because if we're not conscious of these thoughts and conscious of these things, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be enticed and drawn away. Right now in this economy, if somebody comes up to you and says, I know something you can do. You're laid off from work. You ain't got nothing to do all day long. All you got to do is one little thing, and you make $1,000 a day. Are you going to ask, is it legal? Are you going to ask, is it a sin? You're standing there with an empty pocketbook. Your old belly's growling. It should take a few days for mine to start growling, but you're standing there with an empty pocketbook and your belly's growling, and this person's saying all you got to do is one simple thing, you make $1,000 a day. They caught a 92-year-old woman driving from Florida to North Carolina. $3 million worth of cocaine in her trunk. Nope. It's because somebody come to her and said, a doctor told her, your granddaughter is going to die if she don't have a surgery. $75,000 will do the surgery, but we're not starting until you get the money. She's 92 years old. She brings home $300 a month in Social Security. Where's she going to get $75,000? Less than 3 months, she could make $75,000. All we need you to do is drive this car from here to there. When they take the boxes out, you come back. Less than 3 months, she could add her $75,000. She didn't want to take nobody no drugs. She didn't want to get nobody mixed up in that deal. She was looking out. In her mind, it was the only answer to help her daughter. Never thought any further of it. Now that's the sin trap right there. It's not just something that's open and that we know, hey, I don't want no part of that. I mean, them's the easy ones to avoid. There was two establishments here that they was talking about the other night. You know, you're not going to see my truck parked in front of neither one of them. Okay? I can afford that. That's not the ones that tempt me. It's when I'm 100 miles away from here. When I'm 300 miles away from here.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Could be the same name. That's where you're tempted. You're not tempted. We're not tempted here, per se. We're maybe not tempted here to go buy and look at things we shouldn't buy and look at. But if you're 1,000 miles away from here, that's when it tempts you. You're not tempted sitting in the church pew, okay? But when you're in the car all by yourself, it's still sin, whether you're in the church pew or in the car, whether you're in Cherville or 1,000 miles away. Where are you going to go to get away from God? God's everywhere to start with. If you're a Christian, if you say, I'm a born again, washed in the blood, Bible believing Christian, God's supposed to be right beside you. That's where God's at. So where are we taking Him? If you're out there and you're trying to, if you want to tell somebody this message and get them to get to the lost, God's still everywhere. That lost monkey that's in that trap, God's still there. They may have not ever been introduced to Him. But all it takes is one time. Get introduced to Him and get to know Him. And He's there. He's there. Amen. The sin traps are there. But God's still there. So let's remember about these monkey traps. It attracts us by pleasure of the flesh, the same as all sin. All sin. That just sums up all sin. And the other thing is, all sin's addictive. You might get by with it one time and think nobody knows. You forget about God knowing. But your mama don't know, your brother don't know, your sister don't know. If one of them monkeys ever got away, he thinks, made it. And I'm happy. He got satisfied with what he had. But you know what? With that same zeal that he's happy he got away, next time he finds that piece on the ground, with that same zeal, he's looking around, ain't nobody seen me. Scarf it up. And he'll go right back to that same kind of monkey trap. And guess what? He's caught again. But those traps are out there. And they're not going to be hidden. And they're not going to be disguised. They're out there. We need to recognize them for what they are. And we need to be conscious, crucify the flesh, stay away from them. And just follow after what God says. Follow after what God says. We know. We know to do with good. And he that doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what? There's been a lot of good preaching. Lots of good preaching here at the church for a long time. It's just getting better and better. Every service and everything. And if you'll come and listen, you'll hear instruction from God's Word on the right things to do. But just like James talked about, looks just like James talked about, hearing it is not all. Just like he said here, and doeth it not. So if doeth it not is sin, then if we do that which is good, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, if we can remember that, that'll answer a whole lot of questions. You know, you've heard me talk many a time that people laugh at me when I talk about praying about buying a car or spending any money. And they laugh at me and laugh at me. I mean, I know they've laughed at me. But I don't want to do it. Because I know if I spend a penny outside of what God wants me to do, it's going to cost me a nickel in the long run. You know? If God says, and He has said, pay your tithes, when are you going to argue with God out of doing it? Because I have found if I pay my tithes, God's addition is a whole lot better than my subtraction. Because if I pay my tithes and do what God, I mean, now I'm not trying to browbeat you about paying tithes and things. Now don't get me wrong. Because somebody's done, maybe the old devil's done snuck in here and said, here he comes in this bad economy, he's going to start talking about money. It's not our money to start with, it's God's money. Okay, so devil, leave. All right? But if God tells me what I'm supposed to do, and I try and cheat God out of a few dollars, you know, I'm in trouble because that few dollars is probably going to cost me a lot. Now, my trucks, my older trucks, they ain't pretty. They scratch and dent just like me. Just like me, scratch and dent. But they get me from point A to point B. And I owe very little on them. So why, especially now, do I want to be enticed by the old devil to go buy something new? Because that's how the devil's going to work on you. You got these old cars, you know. You can sell them, get rid of them, and just go buy a new one. And it ain't going to hurt nothing to be in a nice new fancy car. Well, Lord have mercy, they ain't broke. I don't have to pay nothing on them. All I'm going to do if I go buy a new car is get more interest payments. And if I pray about it and God says no and I go do it anyway, that new car ain't going to be nowhere near as good as my cars I got. It's going to be in the mechanic shop. Somebody's going to run into it with a grocery cart at the buy Lowe's. Okay? Them tires ain't never going to stay up. And them new cars has got them funky little things inside the tires that if the pressure's bad, it makes everything mess up. And them little itty-bitty things that control that are wireless, by the way. And they're about $400 a piece. Okay? So I just know that them tires is going to stay flat all the time, and I'm going to be paying out $400 for every tire I fix. Okay? I'm not going to try it. God said no, just forget about it. There is so many people right now, it's not the economy, it's not who's up there and who ain't up there. It's not listening to God. It's not listening. If you listen to this country today, they told you that there is so many X amount of people out of work. And that's right, they are out of work. They're telling you it's looking bad. And they tell you we're going to give you all this money back and it's going to be all right. What they ain't telling you is we're going to pay it all back. But in all that, look at what God done today. It's his to start with. You know what? Everybody's looking at me awful serious. You know, preacher did preach about you can have joy in church. I mean, we had so much joy this morning in the Sunday school class, I thought Melody was going to fall out. I got to talking about me and Todd going on visitation, and Todd had to be the dog runner because I can't feel my left leg. I just make left circles. And Melody got to laughing at me, and I didn't know what was going to happen. But, we can have joy in church. I'm not going to be a rich person. Ain't a soul in my family that I know of that's ever breathed there that left this world ahead. So guess what? I ain't living here ahead. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I was lucky if it's plastic. Why worry about it? I mean, yeah, it's good. It's good. If I, for reading the Bible, I might make it to 120. But if I do, I'm going to work till I'm 100. And the government's going to take most of what I make. I mean, you know. I don't see the worry in the economy. God said, I ain't going to beg for bread. I'm not going to beg for bread. But just like James said, and the point I think he's trying to make there, too, is we're saved by grace through faith. If we've got faith, then our faith is going to produce works. We need to be busy about God's business. And to do that, we need to crucify the flesh and avoid these sin traps. Be aware that they're out there and get to telling people. I mean, just because we know, we might know somebody's saved. In our hearts, we may feel that they tell the truth. That don't mean they're not backslidden. Because that's where the that's what backslid is. Backsliding is a monkey trap. That's exactly what it is. And you can't get out of it. Backsliding generally starts by missing one service. You might have, I mean, it might be a time that you've got to miss. You cannot help it. But you'll rationalize. The old devil will get in your head and rationalize that one time and turn it into a whole year. You know what? And that's all it is, a monkey trap. Just remember that monkey trap. And I know the, maybe these two, all this and this last thing I want to say here don't particularly tie in together, but I used it as my ending on the last message, and I think it's a good thing to think on. If I can find my references. In Revelations, in the book of Revelations, starting with chapter 2, where he's writing to the churches, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus and the different churches, you know, he's writing, and we read to where he's saying, this you've done, this you haven't done, or you haven't done this, and you forgot to do this, things like that. I want you to read that. Then there's two things I want you to think about. If John today wrote a letter to Gospel Way Baptist Church, what would it say? And then after that, if he wrote a letter to you, you personally, to tell you, like he told these churches, this, that, okay, and focus on the thoughts of the monkey traps, what would God say? What would it say to you? Because that's how we're going to get some growth, and that's how we're going to get some movement. And that's how, like our Sunday school lesson goes this morning, when you're going to have unity in the body of Christ. Is when you got that common goal of reaching people for Christ in everything you do, okay, that's going to help you in what you need to do for missions. When you pray about missions in that manner, it's going to help you in what you do for visitation, if you pray about it in that manner. It's going to help you what you do in going to nursing home services. You know, everything you do is spreading something. Every action you do is leaving the thoughts in somebody's mind. There's a sign that's been popular, I see. It says, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. If you're saying one thing and your lifestyle's doing another, then you're not being an effective witness for God. And you know what? If John the Revelator was inspired to write us a letter, that's what it's going to tell you. Hey, you know what? This is what it's going to say. You say this, but you're doing this. Okay? You say that I'm a mission-minded, Bible-believing Baptist, but you're doing this. You say that you want to see the lost saved, but you're doing this. You say that you're this way, and your friends don't even know you go to church. You know, what's he going to say to you? But that's my monkey trap message. In its entirety, from A to B to N, no changes anymore, I don't think, unless God says, oh, we've got to add something else. But I hope it's been a blessing to you. And you can direct all complaints to the pastor.